Well, just looking back over the course of this past week, we had quite a deal of optimism which was building through financial markets for a period last week, and then it gave ground again going to the very late part of the week, and it was the data that drove it. And it's a surprising one in some ways because it signs that the US economy is still holding up very well in the face of interest rate rises. So on Friday last week, we had the non-farm payrolls report, and the US economy is still generating very, very strong jobs growth. So for the most recent month, and this is the month of May, we had non-farm payrolls were expected to lift around 300,000. They lifted 390,000, and that was on top of a slight upward revision to the previous month, 436,000. So this, the labour market in the US continues to tighten up. And even though it didn't show this month in the unemployment rate, there's a bit of a lift in the participation rate, so the unemployment rate stayed down at 3.6% rather than getting a bit lower than that. There was some thought that it might go down to 3.5. That's still a sign that the Fed still has to worry about inflation because it's still got underpinnings there from this very, very tight labour market. Also, some of the leading indicators that came out last week are holding up very well. So we had, for example, the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index for the month of May, also the Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. In the case of the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, that actually lifted. So it's pretty good. It's up in the mid-50s, which is very much in expansionary territory. It was at 55.4 going back to April. The market thought it would probably drop back a bit to the 54s. It didn't. It went higher to 56.1. So certainly for the manufacturing sector in the US, still a great deal of strength running through. It was also confirmed by the heartland of manufacturing around the Great Lakes. We had the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index came out for the month of May. This one actually went up from 56.4 to 60.3. That's in super strong territory. So it's an indication that despite the fact that interest rates are marching up, you're still not getting a lot of sign that things are pulling back. We also saw it in a fairly old figure too, and that's for house prices in the US. Here in Australia, house prices are past their best and starting to turn down. We had the Case-Shiller House Price Index out for the US. No sign of house prices turning down there yet. The most recent monthly reading was up another 2.4% month on month. That follows a 2.4% month on month the month before. So annual lift in house prices in the US has risen to 21.2% from 20.3%. Now, that's different from Australia, because here in Australia we're already starting to see the signs that higher interest rates are just starting to cap things off. No sign of that in the US, and probably for a fairly obvious reason. They're a fixed-rate mortgage market. It's largely very long-term fixed mortgages, two at 30 years. That responds more to the bond yields. Bond yields have gone up, but not as dramatically as the expectations about what short rates will do. And so, when interest rates go up, when the Fed puts up the funds rate, it really doesn't have too much impact on mortgage rates there. And so it's just one of those factors which suggests that, that we still got this strength running through the US. This week in the US, we've got a pretty key reading coming up. We haven't got a lot of data coming out, but there's an important one coming up on Friday, and that's the latest CPI. Going back to the April CPI, we just had a glimmer of hope that maybe we've reached some sort of peak for CPI inflation. Going back to March, the annual rate of increase in the CPI was 8.5% year on year. That came down slightly to 8.3% year on year for the month of April. The May figure, the market's hoping that we hold that 8.3%. The market expectation is that the CPI was up 0.7% month on month. That would be 8.3% year on year. And of course, 0.7% month on month annualizing around that 8.32. So we've got something of a capping in the CPI. And even though you've got the Fed quite aggressively indicating that the next two meetings is going to be 50 basis point increases, if we've got some capping in CPI inflation and other measures of inflation in the US, then what that implies going ahead is that later in the year, when we get the really high monthly readings falling off the base, you will get quite a reduction in the inflation rate. So it's quite reasonable to expect in the second half of the year, as that occurs, that expectations about how aggressively the Fed will be tightening will change. And so there's some prospect of some revival in market expectations as we march our way through the second half of 2022, if, as we suspect, the CPI is off the top. Now, this is unique to the US at the moment. We haven't got quite that same sort of indication that inflation rates have peaked elsewhere internationally. So there's going to be some differences between how things work in the US and some other markets as we go a bit further down the track. China. When we look at China, it's the leading indicators are not as desperately weak as we expected for the month of May. So we had the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index and the non-manufacturing PMI came out. The manufacturing PMI actually lifted a little bit to 49.6 from 47.4. That was confirmed with the Caixin manufacturing PMI that came out later in the week. That actually lifted to 48.1 from 46. That's below 50, so it's below the expansion contraction marker, but not as desperately weak as we saw previously. And the non-manufacturing PMI, which had clattered all the way down in April to 41.9, that lifted to 47.8. Now, we've also got some easing of restrictions around Shanghai relating to the Omicron outbreak over there, and we've got indications of more spending by the Chinese government. So we may be getting to some basing in terms of Chinese economic activity. It won't save them from a negative GDP read for Q2 when that comes out in the middle of July, but that may be the worst of it for Chinese economic activity as we work our way ahead. This week in China, we'll get some trade data, and that will still be quite soft, and we'll also get their latest CPI and producer price index reading. There's some hope that the May CPI there might actually fade back a bit to 1.8 from 2.1, and that producer prices might come back a touch to 7.7 from 8% the previous month. Moving to Australia. And last week we had a number of April readings for trade, home loans and home building approvals. The housing part here in Australia is definitely showing some signs of weakening off. So we had April home building approvals came out. They fell another 2.4% after being down 19.2% the month before. Yeah, we had a huge lift the month before that, but we've virtually taken back a fair chunk of that large lift from the earlier month, and we're getting down to some quite low levels now of home building approvals. April home loans too, they came out, and after lifting in March by 0.9% month on month, the market thought they'd fall by about 1. They fell by 7.3%, so clearly, you know, sort of higher interest rates, the higher rates we've seen for some time running through the fixed rate part, and also the beginnings of the rate changes that we're seeing through the variable rate part of it, just starting to soften that demand for home loans, and starting to see that starting to come back. Having said that, we also had our Q1 GDP report. It was a pretty strong report by international comparison. Again, market expectation was 0.7% quarter on quarter. We beat that. We got 0.8%. Market thought that the year on year would be 3%. We got 3.3%. It was entirely embedded in domestic spending because we had a big detraction from economic growth from the external sector, net exports. Net exports detracted a full 1.7 percentage points from GDP. That's largely because although we're exporting well in value terms, the volumes are back. And so we still have, in nominal terms, very, very good export performance, but the volumes are actually quite low on the back of that. And so that detraction means that domestic spending in Australia was actually going very, very strongly indeed in the March quarter, particularly when you consider the negative impacts from things like flooding and some of the other factors. We were only just coming out of some areas out of lockdowns as well. A really, really impressive GDP performance, and suggests that, you know, we've still got some ongoing strength running through economic activity. On the income side too, it's interesting that wages are up 1.6% quarter on quarter. Belies a little bit this idea that wages growth is very, very low. And on top of that, company profits were blistering. In Q1, company profits in national accounts terms, the market thought they would have lifted 4% in the first quarter. They lifted 10.2%. That's on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and that's after a 4.6% lift the quarter before that. So on the income side of the ledger, and also on the output and spending side, when you look at it through GDP, signs of quite a deal of strength running through there. You know, obviously, that's still adding to the pressure points that run through inflation. It's going to keep the labour market tightening, and so there's still some issues that surround that. And that brings us to this week, where today we'll get things like ANZ job ads for the most recent month. We'll also get the Toronto Dominion inflation gauge, the monthly inflation gauge. This has been marching along at around about 0.8% a month over recent months, and there's been an indication for the CPI when that comes out. Be watching that one to see just how high that was for the most recent month, because it will give us a bit of a clue for what the Q2 CPI will look like. We won't see that till the end of July, but at this stage it looks as if the annual inflation rate may actually lift above that 5.1% that we saw going back to the first quarter. We've had a lot of talk over the last week about the government. It looks as if it's going to try and, well, it has put a submission into Fair Work Australia for the 5.1% wage increase. It wants that strictly limited to just the minimum wage. Employers have put their submission in. They're saying, no, nope, we should be deferring this minimum wage hike entirely. So, you know, there is a difference of opinion there in what's gone before Fair Work Australia. And what comes out of that case, and we won't hear about it for another couple of weeks, will have some bearing on the way in which the RBA adjusts monetary policy going forward. But for this meeting, we have the RBA meeting on Tuesday, and there's a bit of difference amongst market participants about what the RBA will be doing. The majority think, and I believe too, that we'll get a 25 basis point increase out of them again. That would take the cash rate up to 0.6 from 0.35. That's consistent with what they said last meeting, which is that they're gradually starting to move interest rates back up to something that's a more neutral setting. But there are some who are saying that they'll do 40 basis points just to get the rate up to 0.75% into that 0.25 type change range again. Others are saying they may do 50 basis points. I doubt very much whether they'll be doing 50 basis points, even though that's become quite commonplace with central banks overseas, where in recent times we've seen the Fed, the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England, the RBNZ, all of them doing 50 basis points, but facing a much bigger inflation problem than we're facing here for the time being. So watching that one and the arguments around it, but looking at this stage for another 25 basis points. Then out of Europe last week, we had a range of indicators came out, and most of them show high inflation, but still the economy holding up reasonably well in Europe. So we had the May Business and Consumer Confidence Survey. This gives both consumer sentiment and business sentiment, puts them together into one index. And this actually lifted a little bit in May to 105.0 from 104.9, going back the previous month. So reasonably firm. We also had their latest CPI and PPI readings. The CPI was lifted again to 8.1% year-on-year from 7.4% going back the month before. And the core CPI, actually went the other way, came down to 3.8 from 3.9. So as you can see, a lot of one-off food energy prices, which are embedded there in the CPI, but a pretty high reading. We also had their producer prices came out. These lifted again on an annual basis, although it is starting to cap out a bit, but at a horrific level. We went from March, which was 36.9% year-on-year, to April, which is 37.2% year-on-year. So that's a lot of potential inflation in the pipeline. Uniquely, the ECB is not reacting to that. So every other central bank starting to react to inflation pressure. But for the ECB, their view is that they're still going to take their time before they lift interest rates. And the reason for that is that they're facing probably greater recession risk than anywhere else internationally. And that comes down to their reliance on Russian energy and cutting that off and the risk that that will tip the European economy, particularly the German economy, into recession later this year, going into next year. So a reason for caution for them, because that recession may start to take care of the inflation problem they've got. So they're taking their time before they do anything about that. And this week in Europe, we've got the ECB meeting, and they're probably going to leave, that's on Thursday, they're probably going to leave their deposit rate at minus 0.5%, where it's been, you know, right the way through this past year, 2 years. So no change coming through from the ECB. We also have other central banks meetings. So we've got Bank of England coming, I think. They're going to lift another 50 basis points probably. So we've got a fair number of central banks meeting over this coming week, and if we go beyond this week, after the inflation reading we get in the US, not this week but the following week, we get the Fed meeting again, where they're probably going to deliver another 50 basis points. So yeah, we've got a fair bit of economic information coming, some of it relating to inflation. That inflation reading from the US is going to be so important when it comes out on Friday. If it goes up any higher, that obviously will be very negative as far as market sentiment is concerned. But if it manages to settle around that 8.3, or if it comes back off that, it could be a very strong bull point. So we're not quite sure which way it's going to run, but it will lead what the Fed will be doing going the week after. Together with our Reserve Bank and their meeting this week, a great deal which will probably keep markets quite volatile.